And I'm pleased to welcome my guests this afternoon, Nikki Greenham and Keith Holdaway, both local artists who are taking part in Open for Art 2025. Good afternoon, guys.
Hello. Hi. Nice Hi. To be here.
Well, thank you for coming in. So should we start with you, Keith? Just give us a little run. You're one of the organisers of Open Art, aren't you? Just
yes, Open for Art. That we've been running it for several years. It runs every 2 years. And the Artway directors run it. We alternate with Dorset Art Weeks, but we stopped for COVID. Mm-hmm. So as a result of that, we've had to start from scratch again, really, and get things moving. So this will be great to get more people interested and knowing what we're doing.
Excellent. And it's running as we speak, and it's already begun.
It began last Saturday, and it ends on the 1st. Yeah.
And you know, there's people showing their art, and sometimes it's in people's homes and studios and in public buildings as well, isn't it? Yeah. There's all sorts of places.
Yeah, well, we've got 60 different artists, and we've got about 26 venues, two quite large ones with the one where Nikki's working in Portland at the Manor Theatre. We've got over 20 people there. That's the biggest. And then we've got places like Weymouth Old Town Hall, and well, here in Dorchester we've got Boundary opening on Saturday with Judy Tate and her colleagues opening up there.
And tell us about what you do. Bookbinding, don't you? Tell us a little bit about that if you can.
I do bookbinding. I also do printmaking, and I work with people. Often when people print their own books, when they've self-published, they get them done on Amazon or something like that, and they get rather a good book, but a poor quality sort of thing to handle, and they like to have a special copy for themselves and their friends. So I often do limited editions of self-published books, and they can decide whether they want a leather binding or a more workaday sort of case binding. And my own work, I do sort of artistic interpretations of the titles, things like the Owl and the Pussycat. I've got one on show at the moment with a guitar wrapped around the back and the stars and the lyrics in gold lettering on the black leather. Mm. I like working with leather.
Excellent. And do you get a lot of people coming around to during this event?
Well, I'm exhibiting in All Saints Church in White Regis, and it's hard to know who are the people. Well, the clue is they come round with the brochure. Mm. If they come in with the brochure, we know they're only there for the art. But there are two art groups that meet there regularly every week, and there's also bell ringers and singers, and so the place is quite full. Mm. We've had a steady stream of people. I think, Nikki, you've had a lot more in the Manor Theatre, haven't you?
Yeah, we're in the Royal Manor Theatre in Portland, and we've got the added enticement of cake. So we've got some fantastic people making freshly made cakes every day for tea and coffee, so that's pulling in quite a few people. I think that's made the secret. But yeah, we've got a fantastic array of paintings, textiles, ceramics, jewellery, all sorts of things. It's a lovely environment up there. It's very relaxed, not like a traditional gallery space. So it's a lovely community space, and there's pretty much something for everyone. There's all kinds of different pieces of art there.
What's not to like? Cake, coffee, and some lovely art as well. It's a win-win.
Exactly.
Now, Nikki, tell us a little bit about what you do. You do some slightly different sort of art, don't you?
Yeah, so I'm an abstract artist and illustrator, and I'm also a creativity coach. So I get very excited about helping people unlock their natural creativity. We have a lot of people who have a book inside them that wants to get written, or have those paints in the cupboard that their Auntie Hilda gave them. They haven't got out for 3 years. And so I run quite a lot of events that help people to, you know, get over the fear and find the time to get going.
So can anybody draw, paint, do you think?
I think everyone can. Yeah, I think when we're younger, we don't have the fear of what it should look like. So when I've run sort of family workshops and things, the children have been very good at abstract art because they naturally are in tune with their intuition and their emotions. And it's the adults that need a big warm-up to get over that, to start producing things. And I think it's like anything, you know, Some people have more of a natural talent than others, but I think everybody is creative, whether that comes out in gardening, cooking, painting, you know, whatever that comes out in.
Now, one of the things I saw when I was reading your biography, it says that you work with angel frequencies. What's that about?
So, yes, so I work intuitively, psychic intuitively with the painting. So I often tune in, often with the aid of music, so with chanting. I'm also a sound healer with tuning forks. So I'm very in touch with different sound frequencies, and I work with angel frequencies quite a lot in my healing and sound work, but also in the painting. So when I paint, I tend to paint outside a lot, and I tune into the energy of the place. And I try to incorporate the feel of the place along with the sounds and the story, reproducing that with the colours and mark making, which leads to the abstract piece. So, yes, it's quite unusual, my abstract paintings, in terms of I'm trying to get the feel and the energy of the place in a pictorial way rather than just transcribing what's there.
That's very interesting. So with your art, you don't really plan on what the picture is going to be, because you're going to go and it's what you feel and hear, and I guess that's what you're putting down on the painting.
Yeah, it can be quite spontaneous. Often I'll go to a place, for example, I went to Ringstead Bay to do a Burning Cliffs painting, which was quite interesting. I didn't realise it was called the Burning Cliffs at the time. I just turned off, thought this would be a good place to paint. And I'll do a lot of preparatory sketches, just properly looking, you know, really seeing what shapes things are, what colours things are. And then when I get to the final painting, that's obviously quite quick, because you've done all the preparatory work first. And then it just comes together. Yeah, so it's quite quick, quite intuitive for the final pieces.
Like you say, I imagine that children are very good at that, because they haven't got the hang-ups, have they?
That's it. It's a natural way of painting before we start seeing what everyone else is doing and thinking we should do it that way instead.
Yeah, absolutely. And Keith, I see that you used to run art studios, and you're looking for a new project now.
Yeah, well, this is my new project. Yeah, it's a lot of work, but it's terrific to see so many people freeing up that creativity, like Nikki's talking about. We've had a group doing lino cuts, and something they used to do at school and loved it. But when you ask them to do it as an adult, they freeze. Mm. And you just give them a piece of old lino, or we use plastic now, and just get them to move and cut, make the marks, make the lines live. And don't try and trace a picture, but just make a line, and then suddenly they find that all these lines come together to form. We were doing the Stations of the Cross, so we had 15 people, and each person did one cutting, and then we printed them out and we made them into books. And so it's quite a big project, and people just suddenly said, well, I can do this. I really can do this. I used to do it at school, and I still can, and now I'm in my 50s or 60s or 80s.
Like you say, as soon as you said lino cutting, that's exactly what I thought about. I remember doing that at school, little rectangle of lino and carving something in there. Yeah. Well, the great thing about it is what the event itself is. You've got such a big range of different types of art. I mean, like you two guys, for instance. You got a lady, she was going to come in, I can't remember her name, who was going to do encaustic art. And she does do encaustic art,
yes.
Doesn't she?
Lynn.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nikki, can you explain to listeners what encaustic art is?
Probably not as well as Lynn could.
Definitely.
I'm trying to wrap my brains. But basically, yeah, she works with a sort of fluid wax, like beeswax, with pigments, and basically paints with it. So it's Lynn Kirkland. She's on Portland, and her studio's open on Portland, and has the most incredible effects. So she'll paint on things like glass bottles, creating beautiful pictures of sunflowers and the local landscapes and things. And she runs courses from her studio as well. It's a lovely meditative process.
Excellent. And Keith, can you just remind everybody the details of the event itself?
Well, it's running now, and we are staying open until Sunday the 1st of June. Most places are open 11 till 4, but Portland's open from 10. Being a bigger group, it's easier to handle and have more people, and there's cake. because so people come for some breakfast the church has got cake and it's got a toilet which is a big draw.
Gets better all the time.
I think the nice thing about these is they're all staffed by the artists. So if you come to any of the venues, whether they're in artists' homes or studios or the bigger venues, you will get to meet the people who have made the work. So we can all talk about that. And I think, as we were saying earlier, getting the confidence to see that art comes in a whole variety of styles. And there's usually something that attaches to your emotions that you think, oh, that just speaks to me, you know, whatever it's clay or porcelain or jewelry.
Going around the various venues, the thing I like best is going to the individual studios, talking to the artists and seeing just all the paraphernalia and all the gear and the way that they work. And some people have got incredibly tidy studios, and other people, it's just extraordinary. What a mess that they managed to make.
That would be
and
me.
It's lovely.
I'm one of those messy people.
mine's a mess, except when I film it, then it has to get tidied up. But just seeing the way people interact with the materials and the way that they draw their inspiration from things around them. You'll go into a potter and you'll find all kinds of weird shapes, stones, bits of old rock, bits of tree trunk and things that they just, something has caught their eye about that shape and they're working it into their work. It's lovely.
Yeah, because I think some people are giving demonstrations as well, aren't they? Some of the artists.
Yeah,
we've got Pody Lawrence, who's a great painter, giving some demonstrations in the theatre. I think it's today, actually. So that's really fun to come and see. And there's also a competition, isn't there, on the back of the trail book. So there's a guide that you can pick up which has a map of all the locations in the area. And is it six people? If you go and visit six of any of the studios that are in the art trail and get a signature from the people who are at the studio, you can enter your competition to win a £100 voucher to spend on any of the art at the Open for Art trail.
And you could buy a lot of cake with that, isn't
it? I don't know if it's available for cake. I think it has to be some kind of creative art. Not saying the cakes aren't creative art, but...
You need to find one of our artists that makes cakes if you want. It's a £100 voucher.
You know, I never thought we'd end up talking about cake quite so much.
A bit sidetracked there. Yeah.
Well, thank you both for coming in today, and hope it all goes really well for you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.